Today's Talking Games is brought to you by Jackbox. Get five hilarious party games in the Jackbox Party Pack from the creators of You Don't Know Jack. Now on Xbox One, PS3, PS4, Steam, and more. Go to jackboxgames.com for more info. Thanks, Jackbox.
Those Jackbox games are really fun.
We don't have Clayton here.
I know. I was going to say, like, he usually will derail that, but I just want to say, like, Jackbox games are really fun.
I played You Don't Know Jack on the PS1. It was great.
It was great.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Hey everybody, it's me, the voice that you're listening to. We are Talking Games here, and I am Kellen Terrett, talking to you in your earphones or on your speaker or something. Maybe you are asleep and your phone turned on randomly, and this is a dream. So if this is a dream, welcome. To my left, where you cannot see,
right,
is my co-host and dear friend, Mr. Timothy Dunn.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course.
Our stoner friend isn't here today.
Our stoner friend is not here. He is on a magical journey out into the desert.
Yes.
God came to him in a glass of milk and told him that if he did not pick up the fire sword in the center of the green mist, that, that buzz was going to end.
I feel like we should probably bring in our guest to weigh in on this, but before we do that, do you remember that Simpsons episode where Homer has the, like, trippy and he talks to a turtle?
Yes.
What drug is he on then in that one?
He's on chili.
Yes, he eats the chili.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, that's a great episode.
Folks, our guest here today, besides being a Simpsons aficionado, is also a young, handsome entrepreneur, I'm trying to think of some other ways to describe him.
I was promised seven buzzwords.
Seven buzzwords.
Oh, we got one so far?
All right.
I guess it's my turn. Okay. He is a producer, right? You produce things?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He is also from the great state of Pittsburgh.
Oh. Okay.
Pennsylvania, that's the state. Pittsburgh
Maybe
is
only
the city.
Four, one more.
Okay.
One more.
He is a modern-day showman.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Put your hands together wherever you are and clap for our guest, Mr. Aaron Amendola.
Hey,
everybody. All right, I got 45 minutes of material.
Okay. Ooh.
Great.
Boy. All right.
Yeah, it's
Any
visual.
Crowd work in there?
I'm going to work the two of you real hard.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I am ready for this.
Aaron, what number episode of this is this for you? Three?
Maybe
four?
I did one talking about Final Fantasy.
Okay.
I did one doing Destiny last year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think...
You did it...
Oh, you talked about Dragon Age.
You talked about
a very contentious episode.
Yes, very contentious.
That was basically me in a pulpit. That was great.
Yes. You were on trial. That's exactly what
just
was.
Like the Trespasser DLC in Dragon Age Inquisition.
Have you played that, by the way?
Trespasser?
The new one that just came out?
Yeah, it's kicking my ass. It's really difficult.
Oh.
It's profoundly difficult. And I don't know if I took some time off, because I haven't played Dragon Age in maybe 3 months.
Yes.
But for me to get back into it, it's got such a flow that is, you know, Destiny is very, very run, and Dragon Age is stop, think, equip, look around, gather stuff, and then maybe battle. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not in the right mind state for it.
And it's like 2 years after the game ends, right?
Yeah. Spoilers?
I don't think anyone's listening.
2 years.
In the trailer.
As Kellen said, this is all a dream.
This is a dream.
I remember when Anubis came to Clayton and wandered him out into the desert. Mm-hmm. That was a nice time.
It was a good time.
We were all there. We remember it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah. Nah.
We always start out the same way, and that is, what are we playing? Aaron, I think I know what you're playing right now, and I think it's what we're going to talk about, but what are you playing right now?
I'm playing a little game called Destiny from Bungie, but I'm also playing... I've been playing Star Wars Uprising on my phone, and I've been playing Until Dawn on PS4.
Oh, we got to talk about Until Dawn. Start with Star Wars Uprising, though. How's that? I've heard mixed things.
It's whatever. Like, unless you spend $20, that game's uninteresting.
Yeah,
but
that's a bummer.
I saw Star Wars, and I was like, I need to have that. And I'm totally a product of consumerism and marketing. So
it's got a cool trailer.
It does. The trailer looks good, and the fact that it's Italian. I guess for me, a lot of those Star Wars games start so slow. Like Star Wars Commander, for example. I'm just like, I would love to play a little Castle Crashers ripoff,
but not Castle Crashers. Clash of Clans. Because I like Star Wars, but it takes you so long to get into that game.
Yeah,
I want to be able to pick it up and instantly be able to like do something cool.
Right. Yeah, it's been about 2 hours total, and it's just kind of brutal. I'm playing it, but I'm not really playing it. I'm just kind of like watching it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then you you guys live streamed Until Dawn with the Versus the Universe, correct?
Yeah, Until Dawn. Oh my God. If I probably wouldn't give a game of the year out to an expansion, but Until Dawn's probably my game of the year right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's great. It's not fun to play by yourself because part of the fun is we have the PlayStation Eye above the TV. So whenever something scary happens, the Eye records the 2 or 3 seconds before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go back and rewatch every moment.
That's awesome.
So you can actually show your friends like, no, it's fun. We do it all in a group. You can show them what they're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And they see what happens in the game. So it's very inviting. It's very, very cool. I got to talk to some of the developers, and they just are the nicest people, too.
Now, for people who might not know what Until Dawn is.
It is an interactive horror movie. It's essentially every 90s slasher flick, think Scream. And you are basically thrust into the role of every single one of those teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a little bit of Heavy Rain.
Yes.
Plus the movie Scream. And
Tim is a big fan of
Of Quantic Dream.
Yeah. Oh man,
love
yeah.
me some
You're
Quantic
love this
Dream.
Game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's essentially every stereotype from a horror movie, like the cheerleader, the jock, the nerd, and there's going to be a lot of characters that you don't like, and it just means it's going to be better when they die. Because
that's great.
There's one guy where I was like, I'm going to try to save everyone, but if someone's going to die, it's going to be this prick,
mm-hmm.
and then he gets his head lobbed off, and I was just like. The moment the PlayStation records it, everyone's just like screaming in happiness. Every other one is fright and mm-hmm. sadness, and this time his head gets lobbed off, and we're just like, yes.
And does the gameplay have that similar, like, you know, the gameplay of Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls is basically the game Simon.
Yeah.
Does it have a similar, like, mechanic to it?
Yeah, so there's two main mechanics. It's there's a exploration mechanic where you're essentially walking around the house gathering clues trying to solve one of three mysteries in the game, and there's quick time events.
Right.
So a lot of the quick time events are if you want to go the safe path, there might be one button trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go the hero path and jump over flaming, you know, whatever,
try
there's
and
a lot
save
of things
someone.
On fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be more complicated. It's not too difficult, though. It's like we were passing around the controller to the four people there, and we all were able to do everything. The most stressful part was just waiting for things to happen. It builds tension in a really masterful way.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's great.
And it was originally made like...
It was made for PS3 and
yes.
the Move controller. It was announced 3 years ago, and I was so into that game,
mm-hmm.
and then I just never heard of it.
Yeah, I feel like it came out of nowhere, because I didn't hear much about mm-hmm. it until...
Every demo has just been kind of like, hey, it's like Heavy Rain, but until... streamers got it and mm-hmm. people saw what it was like to play with a crowd, it didn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't mind games like that like it's maybe kind of basic in its gameplay, but if it's only like 10 hours, great.
Yeah. Well, and it encourages multiple playthroughs. So we accidentally killed three people this time. So next
time,
the
game.
Yeah.
In the game.
Yeah. As a group, we went out and murdered three citizens.
Boy, oh boy.
This is my note.
Oh boy.
But so the next time you can keep everything that you did in the game and just make a different decision.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then you were telling me about a mechanic where you can see what other people have done, right?
Yeah, so we started playing it with that, mm-hmm. where you can see 50% of people they went left,
50%
of the people went upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So
like a Telltale game.
Yeah, it was really informing what we should do. So a lot of the times we'd be like, only 10% of people did this. We're going to see what people didn't see, and mm-hmm. then someone would die, and we're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't.
Mm.
So we turned that off pretty much immediately.
I feel like Telltale sometimes is like, you know, 70% of people did this, and you didn't, so you're a racist.
You know, 80% of people fed the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
You killed the puppy.
Yeah. How does that
so feel? You hate women. I just want to put that up there.
Guess what? You got an achievement, and we're going to put it on Facebook because it says you hate women.
I didn't even authorize this. No, it's there.
Sorry.
It's just there.
It went through Twitter.
Yeah. Tim, what have you been playing?
I have been playing more MGS5, and it's still great. After a while, it does this thing where you can do the same missions over again,
mm-hmm.
but way harder, and that's fine. But some of them are like, I'm now fighting the sniper lady again, Bikini Sniper.
Yeah, Bikini Quiet. Sniper.
Yes.
One of my favorite girl bands, you know.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
They're great.
And now it's like, I can't drop stuff on her from my plane, and I can't Like, if she shoots me one time, I'm dead, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't care enough to do stuff like this.
Now, do you unlock... I'm thinking of everything in the world of Destiny in terms of, like, well, why would you do something harder unless it gives you more Modes of Light Strange coins or Vanguard rep?
I guess you get more money, which you can then use to develop weapons. Okay. That's about it.
So far, this game is about dropping things from a helicopter on a woman and developing weapons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
I did recently... So there's, like, at least two chapters, as far as I can tell, and I ended the first chapter, and I don't think I realized how crazy the plot to this game is. I kind of don't want to spoil it just to give everyone that sort of weird, what Kojima, like, what is this about? Mm-hmm. I'm confused moment. But, god damn, it's weird. This is a weird franchise.
Have you played the rest of the games?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. And believe me, I know. They're all weird.
Is on the scale of weirdness, though, does this rank, or is this just like, boy, that's weird?
Is it Metal Gear Solid 2 weird, or is it Metal Gear Solid 3 weird?
See, that's a good question, because is that the weirdest? Because I feel like 4 might be the weirdest.
Oh. I think 4 is convoluted. I think 2 is weird, but the more I play 2, the more I like it.
Sure, I get that. I mean, 3 is the most normal.
Yes.
And 3 is my favorite.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we'd all
agree. I'm sorry. Metal Gear Solid, the start of that franchise, is probably the most normal. Metal Gear Solid 3, I believe, is like, it's like a James Bond movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a James Bond theme in it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's workout music.
And you can find a cassette of it in MGS5,
which is
great.
That's awesome.
I would say it's right. It might be above 4, right under 2. But the gameplay is just so good. You're like, yeah, whatever. Fine.
Whatever. Cool. I mean, honestly, I don't know about any sort of plot in the game, and I don't think you could spoil anything in the game that would make me not want to play it, though.
Like, language is a big part of this game, and I did not expect that.
Languages in terms of, like, languages that, like, we're all
of
slaves.
The world. Yes, and the science behind languages.
Is there dialogue that you can't understand because people are speaking different languages?
Yes, but that's like, so you have to go and kidnap an interpreter of that language in order to even, like...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, because, like, if you grab and interpret a guy and he speaks Russian, he's just like, you know, and it's just like... And you get a call, it's like, hey, we got to find a translator.
Yeah, we got to get somebody.
Stop grabbing these dudes. Yeah. It's not going to do anything.
You are just pissing people off.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone told Snake to grab them and hug them. Mm-hmm. That way he'd know their language.
Yes.
It's not right.
So that's cool. Yeah, it's still great. And then Hearthstone. There was a huge Hearthstone thread on Alex Honnett's wall. Okay. So if you're looking for people to play, get hooked up there.
Wasn't his name like... Bubble Butt or something?
Oh, I don't know.
He was like, my name's Bubble Butt something. And I was like, I didn't play Hearthstone, but I might sign up
just to see that. Yeah, yeah.
I think we even had, longtime guest Alex on it was beaten by, I can only presume, never-time guest Scott Goldstein. Not because Scott is a nice guy. He's just, he really makes fun of video game people.
Quite hard, yes.
But Scott beat Alex, and that blows my goddamn mind.
I don't want to throw shade at Scott, but Scott probably bought those cards. I'm going to say that Scott Goldstein probably paid for those cards, and that's how he was able to do
Having been in his home before?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably.
Having sat in his row 6 season tickets to every sports game ever? Yes, I believe that Scott Goldstein... Love you, Scott. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Would love to meet Jeff Tweedy at your house one day, but I'm sure he bought those cards.
So that takes us to Kellen, what you're playing. And I think it's probably what we're talking about today.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's Parappa the Rapper.
Oh!
Oh!
Not what I thought.
Yeah! Kick punch! It's all in the mind!
If you want to test.
Yeah,
it's in my head now.
Yeah, there you go. I've been playing Destiny Year 2, The Taken King.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it's a great game.
It's a fun game.
It's a really fun game. And I'm happy to have Aaron, the guy who my sponsor.
I'd say your biggest ally.
Yes. Yeah. And the sponsor? Guy who, yeah, sponsor, as well as the guy who got me hooked on
Enabler.
It.
Yes.
Enabler, yes.
Yes,
hook
that's
up.
The better name. Pusher man.
Yes. In fact, there are sometimes when Aaron is not playing, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do without Aaron? Oh, God. What if I find something and I don't know what to do? I don't want to say it's changed the way I think about video games, but I've never been this interested and done this much thinking about a video game. And I don't know if I'm embarrassed about it or if I'm just like, this is the thing that finally, like, got me. in a deeper sort of level. Now, I've never considered myself like a hardcore gamer, in the sense of like the way that some people are like hardcore, like on one level of a game. But this is the first thing where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a hardcore Destiny player. I read forums. I'm on Reddit every single day. I've got multiple apps on my phone.
We talk about this every single day.
Every day. We're on a thread.
Min-maxing and whatnot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're on a thread going into the raid this week, and someone made a spreadsheet and then designed code within the spreadsheet so that your light level and your class would automatically be generated. Like,
wow.
I you know.
I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, it's it's proud. So Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
You started playing Destiny at the beginning?
Yeah. Oh, man. So I'm a longtime Halo fan. I love Bungie. And Halo 4 just never scratched that itch, so I was kind of, like, hesitant on Destiny. Mm-hmm. About a month before it came out, I was kind of nervous. I pre-ordered the, like, Super Special Edition, came with a miniature ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It had all this special shit in it, and I was like, no, game might suck. I'm going to cancel it. And then the day before it came out, I ordered the digital one.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I can't. I need it. And I've been playing since, I think, September 5th, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, like, ever since. It's just like a warm blanket. It's a very fun game. The gunplay is the best I've seen or felt in years. And the fact that it's supposed to be a 10-year-long mission of sorts, making this game, it's really intriguing to see where it started from and how it's grown in the past year. It's cool to see people that I know have never played video games get into this one specifically. Mm-hmm. I think it's very akin to like a Hearthstone or like a Candy Crush, because it's constantly dangling a carrot in front of you for more rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always more to do. I just love it.
I think from a gameplay standpoint, it is real easy to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
It's basic Halo. It feels a little deeper than a Halo. Yeah, but there's also that stuff like with, boy, emblems and
shaders
or like you know, different sects that you can
factions that you can get
points in and
there's
all that
more.
Stuff. Where like I played Destiny for probably a month and it was fun, but then I was like, you know, Metal Gear Solid's coming soon. I could use that $10 towards GameStop money towards it. So I turned it in. I enjoyed my time with it. I had, on my way here, Daniel Strauss throwing some shade at the old Destiny on my Facebook wall, being like, tell me why I should enjoy this game, and I didn't know what to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. I really find, like you, Aaron, the 10-year thing interesting, because this is an ambitious project. Like, I can't really compare it to anything in video games because you never really have developers thinking 10 years down the line.
Maybe what? EverQuest? Maybe. But, like, I don't think they realized it would be a 10-year-long game at that point.
Yeah.
And to think of it, so they, I mean, they even before it came out, they, like, you know, Deej was saying, who's the community manager. Community manager? Well,
he's one of three community managers for
managers,
Bungie.
Yes, for Bungie. He was saying, it's like, well, we have a contract with Activision for 10 years, but I think their hope is to make 10 years worth of content. And it's like, how ambitious is that?
And they're how far in now? A year and a half, 2 years?
This is, I mean, it's a year and a week old at this point.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Know? With two expansions, and, you know, the thing is for me is I started playing 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, you were a little babe?
I was a little kindergarten. Little kindergarten, as they call it.
Happy. Oh, God.
And, yeah, like, I mean, I came in at the perfect moment because all of the junk that they had to figure out had slowly been cooked out. And it was really streamlined, and people liked it, and I could go and go on raids with people, and I had a lot of people there to help me get to where I am. And now, what's amazing is to feel like, oh, okay, I can go into Taken King on my own, do what I want to do, and be helping other people, and actually feel like I'm no longer one of those people who's just alone for the ride. Now I'm, you know, able to participate in a comparable level to people who've been playing for a while, and that makes me feel awesome.
So that's kind of the thing. I began doing the first raid, the Vault of Glass, and you had to be level 28, level 28 or 26, just to get in, and it kicked my ass for the better part of 2 weeks. As soon as I finished it, I said, okay, I'm going to get other people through this, and I would go on the subreddit, and I would say, whoever needs help, I've done it before. Let me at least guide you through. So there's a part in the first raid called the Gorgon's Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And on normal mode, it's pretty easy to get through. But on hard mode, it's a pain in the ass if you've never done it. So I would actually go on and say, I can help you out specifically for this part. Just message me. I'll take you through and I'll leave. And that eventually led to me just doing more of it and more of it. And they call it Sherping.
Yes,
so
right.
I'm essentially Sherping people through a raid. And if I get a reward, great. If not, you can't get rewards twice in the same week. So I would just kind of pay it forward and hope other people would help me. And then for the next raid, people would help me go through it. And then, you know, it all rolls downhill.
Yeah.
The big thing is this with the thread Kellen and I are on, I think everybody wants to help everybody out. So we're all trying to do the raid as quickly as possible because we got a lot of new people.
Yeah.
And it started off, there was about six of us on this thread, and then it was eight, then 11, now it's 27.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 27 people that we're all playing together. We all, I think we're all pretty positive about it. And we're all just trying to help people through the new expansion as fun as possible.
And it's not competitive either. And that's the thing that draws me to the community more because, again, I played Halo before, and I played Halo by myself. You know, I could get on multiplayer, but most of the time I was like, this is really boring. And the thing that when I hear people say, I'm not really sure about Destiny, it's like, you need to find people to play with because the more people you're playing with, the more you're going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Sammy Tamimi before he bought a PS4, and he's like, should I try this Destiny thing? And I'm like, I think you should if you know people who are playing. If you know people who are playing, you're going to love it. If you don't know anyone and you're afraid of going and meeting people out there on the internet and getting on Reddit or finding other sort of threads, it's going to be a very hard game.
If you're afraid of getting on Reddit.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah. I mean, I would say this, like, the greatest joy I got out of playing Destiny was playing with some of you guys and specifically playing with you and Clayton when just hearing Clayton die again and again was just the best. So take me through the story of Taken King, because I know the story of Destiny, and I beat it.
Yeah.
So you were dead, and you're sort of brought back to life at the beginning of Destiny.
All right, so that's year one Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
A ghost finds you.
Yes.
The speakers charge these ghosts with finding people, and so you're resurrected, and you have to
help the
traveler.
The traveler's this alien entity
thing. Who's the moon?
Just move on.
Okay.
Taken King is essentially the guy you beat in the second expansion, the Dark Below. Sorry, first expansion, The Dark Below.
Okay.
You beat a guy named Crota. The Taken King is about his dad being pissed and coming back and wanting to kill you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So already off the bat, you're getting away from this like existential bullshit storyline. You're getting into something that's real meat and bones. You're like, oh, revenge plot. Cool. Got it.
I get it.
Like, it's so easy to get in.
And now what's his name? Peter...
Dinklage?
Dinklage is out.
It's now Nathan Drake, Nolan North.
And he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really, really good.
Is he funnier?
Yeah.
Great. I think so.
Good.
Yeah. The writing is the problem. It's not Dinklage. The writing in year one is really the problem. And Dinklage does as good as he can, but he can only be so droll.
Yeah.
And I think Nolan North does a very good job of being C-3PO-esque.
Yeah.
In terms of being a little flamboyant just being a weird, weird robot friend. And you're like, yeah, you're along with me, which is good.
Does that mean he went back and re-recorded all of
the year
every
one stuff?
Single
yeah.
line?
Mm-hmm.
It's as if they erased Peter Dinklage from the game.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing. But if they could get like Matthew Mercer, Troy Baker, Ashley Birch, and like a bunch of the other big time voice actors to go back and record somebody else's dialogue as well, that'd be cool. Because voice acting in that game is it's utilitarian, but it's not good.
I like Nathan Fillion.
He's great.
He's my God.
See, and here's the thing. If you like Nathan Fillion, The Taken King is you and Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Really?
It's all Nathan Fillion. It is so fucking
That's smart.
Fun.
They're playing to their strengths.
If Mal turned into a robot and you wanted more Firefly fanfic, that's all it
is. It really
is. Amazing.
It's great. Fillion is a shining beacon of light in an otherwise what could be, if the voice acting was not good, a completely contrived and boring.
Would you call it a darkness zone?
I'd call it a darkness zone. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get that. Both of you need to leave right now.
Get the fun.
I'm just
going to
monologue for half an hour.
All right, good luck.
They have the guy from The Wire too on there, don't they?
Oh yes. Yeah, he's
Zavala.
Yeah,
he's got a cool voice.
Yeah. Peter Stormare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dead orbit. Mm-hmm. That's all he says. He just plays the Russian guy from Armageddon, like up to 10. Yeah. It's amazing.
So I'm sorry. This guy's dad comes.
Yeah.
Comes.
Oryx. Yes.
I assume it starts out with them just kicking the Guardians' asses for a little while, right?
So essentially what ends up happening in the beginning is the Queen and Prince of the Awoken, Marizov and what's the prince's
name? The Crow.
The Crow, mm-hmm. End up trying to attack Oryx. She unleashes some sort of doomsday attack that she thinks is going to hurt him, but doesn't. It just like kind of stops him for a little bit. Mm. So she's gone. The prince is gone. You're like, what's happening? So the Guardians essentially go out and try to recover and figure out what's happening. You discover they're taking her back. So you reunite with Cade Six, Zavala, Akora Ray, the three Vanguard captains, and you're trying to prohibit Oryx from entering the physical realm. So the majority of the first beat of the story is you trying to kill Oryx as he's trying to take a physical form in your realm. So just like in Dark Below, you're kind of gearing up to go into his house to kill him.
Okay.
Like Crota, you had to go into Crota's realm, mm-hmm. and kick his ass there.
Let's get Oryx, the band back together.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of the same thing with Oryx. You want to go into his realm in the raid and kill him there. Mm.
And it's you take characters who people, I think, have kind of laughed at. Eris, for example, who is kind of your guide through the Dark Below.
Kellen's favorite character.
My favorite character. I think she's fantastic. But people don't like her because she's emo.
A woman. Oh, no?
Because she's a woman, I think. And, you know, she's kind of moans on and is
perpetual
all dark.
Perpetual black blood coming out of her eyes.
And just something
That's cool.
I think it's the design is awesome. And
My
honestly,
Chemical Romance.
There's just something about Eris, how serious she takes everything in an otherwise very silly sort of world that makes me really drawn to her. The fact that she's like, you don't understand how horrible this is. You are dancing around with your friends on top of some giant monster who you just murdered, and it's not. There was a line in a strike that you do called Darkblade, and you're going into the Darkblade's like a little arena, and there's this long sort of path, and she's like, you know, you don't understand how dark it is. You think it's bad right now. You're about to walk into a dark, dark place, and it hasn't even gotten dark enough yet. Like she's constantly talking about how dark the thing is, and then you hear Cade Six, Nate the Villain, and he's like, I don't know. Just shoot him. Come on. Have a good time, man. What are you doing? Come on.
Well, it is great because everyone's dancing in the game. Mm-hmm. There's more emotes now. So if you're a Sunbreaker, you can essentially have an MC Hammer dance. Because you have a hammer made of soul, the sun, and then you can just do the MC Hammer dance. And Eris Morn is like, no, but you guys are really going to die. And you're like, screw
come on,
it.
Come on. We're good.
Go kill some lower people. Who cares?
So the Taken are essentially, so you have these different sort of bad guy archetypes. You have the Fallen, you have the Vex, you have the Hive,
yes,
you have
right.
the Cabal. And the Taken are essentially taken from those sort of archetypes, and they're turned into different versions of themselves that are kind of made of like energy.
Are we talking like a Borg situation here?
Yeah, kind of. Imagine like Borgs made of shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is, like,
that is crazy.
It's not just like a reskin. And I was so worried that this game was just going to take like the Fallen, the Vex, the Hive, or the Cabal, and just reskin them and be like, now they're shadows and whatever. They're actually way more difficult to defeat, and the gameplay mechanics they put into making them in a whole new class is really fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good sign of things to come that this expansion improves upon every single element. So whenever the next one comes out, like, they're going to have a lot to beat.
Yeah.
Like, they can't just, like, throw another raid at there and make it fine. Like, they're going to have to improve everything.
Yeah, right. It will just make things sharper that way. Mm-hmm. Like, the actual gameplay, again, the gun gameplay is great. Everyone's complaining beforehand that they're taking the guns away. Well, no one's talking about
Galahorn
now.
Well, I was talking
now.
About
I know you
them
were.
Taking our guns away before this, but...
But that's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
Tim, the debate is over.
Jet fuel can't melt steel girders. Okay. I want to lay that. You know what? Let's move on. Do you guys think this can... there's only one game they can really think of. We talked about EverQuest, but like World of Warcraft lasted over 10 years. Like, first off, I can't imagine what video games are even going to look like in 10 years. They're probably going to be in our brains or something. But, does this... It's still so early, but does this feel like it has legs? Like, that's a monumental thing.
I think absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The thing is, when year one was finished, we had two raids, two different arenas that were essentially like a What's the thing that Gears of War did where it was just endless
horde mode?
Yeah, it was two different horde modes, and people were doing the same shit over and over and over and complaining, but it was still good because the gameplay was so tight.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the story and everything else is there to back it up, it's going to keep going on.
Seems like it has a dedicated fan base.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, the average playtime per day of a person that plays Destiny is 4 hours. Is that right? Yeah. Look at any other game where you could say 4 hours front to back every day.
Destiny Warriors for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
Yeah. We were talking about games we're embarrassed to play, and I really, in my head, I was like, maybe Dynasty Warriors. Maybe I'm embarrassed of that.
Oh, see, Dynasty Warriors is like, okay, but then I played Hyrule Warriors.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
It's okay, it's all that. No, it's still shit. Like, that game is not, it's not a game. It's a button masher.
What was I going to say? Does it seem like Taken King is doing well financially? Is it selling?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Pretty much everyone who picked up Destiny picked that up. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's only going to get cheaper from here on out. People that want to get in now for $60, they're getting roughly $120 worth of content. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy for them to market it and be like, look at all these people already playing. Don't you want to be a part of that too? It's cheaper to get in now. Mm-hmm. So I think people are buying it up by the boatloads, honestly.
Yeah, man. When I, because I think Destiny also benefits from being this thing that is sort of always there if you want to jump in whenever. Like, that's what happened with me and Clayton and Sammy. Like, there was a lull in games coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'll go down the Destiny rabbit hole. And it was, I was deciding between that and Final Fantasy, what is it, 13 or 14?
Typo?
Wait, what?
Typo, that one?
No, the MMO.
14.
The one that got...
Heavensward.
Launched and then relaunched, and now it's apparently really great.
Yeah.
It looks good, but you have to pay a monthly fee, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because you already have to pay for PlayStation just to be online
at
all.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if that... Because essentially, and I always mix these terms up, like, Destiny's free to play at this point, as long as you buy the disc, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you might be locked out of content if you don't buy the DLC, but right now, they're not selling that game without selling all the DLC.
Yeah.
So unless, like, I kind of turned my girlfriend onto it, she bought the game about 2 months ago, so she has it, but she hasn't started, so she'll have to pay for the DLC, but everyone now, if you buy the disc, you're getting everything. Mm-hmm. If you buy it new. If you buy it used, don't shop at GameStop. Come on.
Said by a former GameStop employee.
Shut up. Glassdoor is going to be all over this.
I think you're absolutely right. It's always there, and you know there are going to be games that are going to take us away for a little while, and that's normal. I think Destiny kind of wants that. Like, great, we're going to put this game out at the end of summer.
Play your Metal Gear Solid.
Play your Metal Gear.
I'm always going to be here.
Yeah, but guess what? Fallout's going to come out. We're all going to play Fallout. And right after Fallout comes out, Destiny's going to say, by the way, in February, we're releasing a new expansion. Yeah. And we're all going to be like, oh, my God. So I'll play Fallout for a month, and then I'll come back to Destiny, and I'll just binge on that, and then a new one will come out. And I mean, I played Destiny in the last week.
Oh,
is there an app that can show me?
Yeah, actually, I calculated my time before I came on here with my one character, with my one hunter. He's a level 40 hunter, Night Stalker. Let me just verify the stats real quick.
Where would I find that? Is that going to be
if
in
you
the
go
Destiny?
In the Destiny Companion app?
Okay.
And if you go to stats on my hunter, I have played for 12 days, 13 hours, and 33 minutes.
You're giving me a look right now of shame or embarrassment. On this podcast, we are on the record
So here's the thing.
Yeah. It's just like reading a book or watching movies, you guys.
I remember specifically last December, I finished Dragon Age Inquisition. If you want to hear my thoughts on that, I'm sure you can find it on some podcast. But
I think the IP address on that episode
is probably lost.
Oh, it may.
Yeah. I realized I spent 100 hours playing Dragon Age Inquisition, and I felt awful about myself.
Mm.
So I bought a bike, and I said, if I'm going to play games, I'm going to be on this bike. And I lost about 25 pounds biking while playing Destiny.
Are we talking stationary bike?
Stationary
bike.
Oh,
okay, cool.
And when I stopped playing Destiny, I gained some weight back. I started biking while playing again when the expansion came out. And, like, man, it works.
Yeah.
Like, it's good.
Hearthstone is great for me when I'm on an elliptical.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Oh, it passes. Yeah. Nothing's more boring than just being on an elliptical for an hour. But if you can play Hearthstone, you know.
If you guys, small segue about feeling shame with games. You guys know Jane McGonigal? She's a great.
Science of Games.
Science of Games. Yeah. She has two books. One is Reality is Broken, and a new book that just came out called Super Better.
Oh, wait. Did she do a TED Talk?
She did.
Yes.
A great TED Talk.
Right.
And she really speaks to this idea of if you're good at video games, you think of being just all those skills are just in video games. But if you can take those skills about like commitment and determination and resilience and you can apply those to your life, you are unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I have Super Better. I picked it up the moment I knew it was going to be available, and it's great. And there's so much stuff about Destiny, about this idea of like I can go into a raid.
That game specifically?
No, not about Destiny, but for me, I'm reading. She's talking about game theory.
Gotcha.
About like, you know, well, you could be committed to like certain power ups and the way that you're thinking about things and the way that I think about Destiny. About like, all right, I can go into a raid and I'm going to play this raid for 6 hours, 7 hours. But like, if I did one activity for 6 hours that I wasn't being paid for, that would be so much pain for me to have to be committed to that, to be
right.
Like, oh, this is hard, and oh, is this really worth it? But with Destiny, I am rarely thinking about my time as something more than I am so involved and happy about that. And it's helping me to be like, oh, okay, cool, I can commit to Destiny, but then I can also learn about myself while I'm playing it. And it's like, it's a thing. Like, there was you and I were talking about this, Aaron, this article that Polygon put out not too long ago about, like, your life can be stressful, but Destiny is always there for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's nice to come home and to be able to play a game that you know is going to be challenging, but you also know is going to be just good.
Well,
you know?
And so that's why there's a lot of hate out there for Destiny, because it kind of is that one thing. And until the next expansion comes out, the story can get stagnant. But it will always be there. You're always going to be able to get engrams and decrypting and get new weapons. But there is something very comforting about knowing I have an hour. I can do two strikes in that hour.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably going to be someone I know on. And honestly, for me, I had Lego Dimensions reserved. I had Mario Maker reserved. I had all these other games. And I was like, why would I spend 60 bucks a piece when I know I'm going to play this until at least Uncharted comes out?
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually saved
money. Is
that
coming out this year?
October
9th.
This is a good year for games.
Sorry, Uncharted Collection.
Oh,
yeah. Uncharted 4
gotcha.
Comes out March 23rd, I think.
I see.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've documented it. I used to spend so much more money on games, and now it's either DLC or it's Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy.
And especially going into the Chicago winter.
Oh my God.
I mean, like, it's
buy Fallout and Destiny and you're good for a year.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, the only two things I'm still going to buy this year are, well, three, Witcher 3 DLC, Fallout 4, and then I'm going to have to try Star Wars Battlefront. It looks too great not to give it a shot.
Have you played the Uncharted games?
I love them. I love them all.
I haven't. I've never played any of the Uncharted games.
I'm
so
buying
I'm
it and I've already got like a list of, oh, you want
to
play it? I'll let you borrow it. And I'm just like trying to get people, because people love that game, but nobody I know, aside from you now, have played them and really love them. I think they're fantastic.
They were PlayStation exclusives, and PlayStation
I guess 3 didn't have a great start.
No, it had the best exclusives, but it essentially lost the last console war.
It caught up near the end, but I mean, Xbox just had that 6 or 9 month lead. And they had so many things to start with.
Yeah, I mean, for the Uncharted games are ridiculous for sure.
Yeah,
but so much fun, great graphics, great gameplay, and the music. That's horns. That's what horns.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what horns sound like.
He's a musician.
I highly recommend checking those out. God, this makes me want to get back into Destiny.
I'm telling you, Tim, like, again, you didn't play any of the expansions.
Yeah.
And
no,
that was
I did
the
not.
Thing. It's like you were playing vanilla basic Destiny. And and when you were complaining
that's
about
what we
like,
call it on the subreddit.
Yeah.
What did I Destiny. Sound like when I was complaining about it?
I don't understand why you like this game so much. It makes my brain hurt like oranges.
We've been meaning to talk to you about your mic. Something's really wrong.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Some people have been complaining in the past few days, though, that so all these new weapons from Taken King are like the most basic stuff is now as powerful as all this
blew
shit that
my
you
goddamn
is that
mind.
Okay?
So all right, Kellen, myself and friend of the show, Chris Chapin, mm-hmm. we had a pact that we were going to get on as soon as the pact
lose broke. Our virginities by the end of the year.
And we did it.
Oh, God. She's still out there, my Canadian girlfriend.
The moment the patch dropped, we all experienced it. For me, I was flying into the tower. The screen blinked. It said patch 2.0 available. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. The very first thing they do is give you one of the best guns from the first year. And they're like, look, you're going to get all this crazy stuff.
Oh, wow.
The very first green Engram, which is a common Engram you decrypt, it's a shitty gun that's already better than everything else you've ever had. And it fucks your mind.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because you're like, wait a second. I'm not supposed to care about this green stuff. Wait. And then they also, and this is the thing that's really strange, though. So there is this moment in when you turn on the game. You're going to the tower and you get an Engram from the mail person. It's mm-hmm. a green Engram, like whatever, and you decrypt it, and it's an exotic, and you're like, wait a second, that can't happen. And for me, I got a year two rocket launcher called Truth that and I was like, oh, so the first gun I get is a gun that is so overpowered that I don't know what to do with it, and I'm not at the rank that I can actually use it. This is amazing.
I feel like that's a Bungie designer like being like, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's Bungie saying, you came to the right place. I know we might not have treated you so well in the first year. But again, that's that carrot. That's
so
that carrot in front of you.
Abusive relationships are.
Yeah, okay. But here, Bungie's learning. They're going to treat us better this time, okay?
Listen, when it's just me and Bungie, they treat me right.
Really nice, yeah.
That whole first day, it was just, it was insane. I could not sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I was... It was like the night before Christmas, mm-hmm. and I think I stayed up from 9 a.m. the previous day until 10 a.m. the next day. I fell asleep for 2 hours, got up at noon, ordered a pizza, played until 10. And everybody was just like, I don't know what's going on. Up is down, black is white. We mm-hmm. don't know what's happening. And it was really cool to see, and I don't think I've ever had an experience like that before. Like,
never.
That day one, we love this thing so much. We love all the changes, and just seeing that fracture of people like accepting it, moving on, and other people like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
And to already have a community around that, because you could pick up a game that you've played a little while and you're like, I really like this, but then you have to find your community. Here was a world that we all were familiar with, and suddenly we realized just how deep it was.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like the quest system is completely different than the way it was before. You know, this
so much better.
It's so much better. It's like, as opposed to like, all right, you go to the tower, and then you got to go to a map, and you figure out where it is. Literally, you have this new subsection where it's like you see all these quests, and you're like, all right, cool. Well, I'm going to do the Shield Brothers quest, or I'm going to do this quest. And like, you can then complete bounties on – you don't have to go back to the tower to complete bounties. So it just makes the game so much quicker, and then you can manage your actual time of what's going on. And then the game opens up. So you play the main story, and you're like, oh, well, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that's Act 1.
Right.
And there's a whole – deep section after that, you're like, I don't know what to do. There's so much stuff to do.
Yeah. So it feels like, because I was just reading an article about the Marvel like chapter, the Marvel universe mm-hmm. chapters. Like, it feels like this is now what, like the beginning of Act 2,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it'll, like, the raid is Age of Ultron, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like Kellen said, just seeing how everything has evolved is just, it's insane to see how, when you do find that community, how tightly they grab onto you and they're just like, it will be okay. That subreddit's something I check every day, and I've made friends on the subreddit that now on Twitter today, somebody just said, I need help with Crota. We never did Crota. I was like, yeah, well, that'll take me an hour. I will help you
That's
out tonight.
Cool.
And like, now I'm apparently on a list of people that he plays with that he has with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone there is... Usually you see games where there's a subset of people who are just dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's that subset with Destiny, it's so small, it is enormously outweighed by the charitable ones. It's incredible. I usually feel really, really dirty about like buying merch from a game, but I just got my shipping confirmation for two of my shirts from the Bungie store.
Brother, I want an N7 hoodie so bad.
Dude, okay, yeah, BioWare's the other one. Let me tell you what, their parka is great.
Oh, they're what?
Yeah, they have
parka?
A parka. The parka is fantastic. I have an N7 parka.
Dude, I have no idea what just happened.
If there's a... I know BioWare has sales sometimes, but... Oh, man.
Do you want me to alert you?
Please do. Yes.
Somebody that works in this building, yeah. I got a notification about like a 20% off. I sent it to them, and they were just like, God damn it.
Oh, I just want to buy everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lisa, if you're listening, February 5th is not too far away.
And it's Owl looks away, pretty good actually. In a hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so folks, go out and play Destiny.
Play Destiny.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, Kellen joined my group. If you go on Bungie.net and search for the clan versus the universe, all one word, VS the universe, we've got about 23 members on it now, which is bigger than other ones in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The only other group in Chicago that's bigger is Chicago Blackhawks. And it's just 39 hockey fans that are like, we don't know what to do. It's games.
I really wanted it to be the team.
Yeah. that Kane guy, though.
Yeah, the Kane's not was playing the out. Game. He's not playing the game right now. He's got other things bothering him.
Make sure you have your microphone that you get the PS4 with, because yeah. When I played with these two gentlemen, and I had to nod or shoot once or twice in the air.
But that was fun. So fun.
That was really funny.
Like having to text you and be like, hey, this is what we're going to do. So if you want to do something, this is how you have to communicate
bang,
with us.
Bang.
And I was like, I love this. I absolutely loved it.
Well, and like the most degrading thing you can do when someone's like, I can't talk, walk up to them and dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do know, like, I know what you guys mean about the community, because, like, I remember, I don't know what the event is. It's like, there's some kind of thing where, in any given, like, when you're just doing missions, not specific. Okay.
The public event?
Yeah,
public
yeah.
events.
Yeah. And then at the end, if you succeed, there's this chest that you got to find.
Yeah.
So I remember...
House of Wolves chest. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So I remember I was on my own, and I was helping out with one of those, and I was not helping at all with where I was at. But we finished, and maybe I did like 5 damage. And so I'm entitled to, you know,
I'm entitled to the chest.
I said the wrong word.
Yeah.
But I was walking away because I didn't understand what was going on. And this dude just starts shooting at me. And I was like, what? He can't hurt me right now. Like, why is he shooting at me? And I was like, dude, what is your problem? I shot back at him. And then I see this thing next to him. And the dude was shooting at me to make me realize that there was this chest next to him. And it was the nicest thing. And I danced for him because that's what a gentleman does.
That's the gentleman thing to do in Destiny. Mars customs are very different.
Very different.
You sit on Mars.
Aaron.
Yo.
Look into the future.
Okay.
What does Bungie have to do to continue this win, this streak?
I think this year it's all about refining the game that they already made and doing story. Mm-hmm. I think third year you're going to be looking to having... bigger raids with more than one fire team. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be really easy to do a raid where you need 3 fire teams accomplishing things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then all 18 players coming in at the end.
That'd be amazing.
It would be amazing. And the thing is, so in the thread that Kellen and I are on, we used to scramble for 6 people for a raid. But now today we have a sign up for 2 raids happening almost the same time.
Are you having to turn people away or anything?
Well,
like that?
It essentially, like, some people are like, the people are there. You just need to find a way to engage more and increase that community size. And everyone that's in is in. It's just a matter of, you know, Tim, you should play. We have people that will play with you.
Right.
We can help you get up. One of the guys I work with, Sam Begich, he just got the game on Tuesday. He's played for 20 hours because he has people that are like, oh, my God, let's help you.
Yeah,
and as long as people keep doing that, which I don't see the signs of stopping, it's going to keep going.
Because it's also about education. It's like, okay, cool. Let me help you understand how this world works, and let me walk you through that. And Aaron was always there, like, hey, I have this question. And, like, you begin to educate yourself, and then you just want to pass that same education on because you understand that the more people who are educated, the more people are involved in the world, the happier we're all going to be because of that.
To your question, what do they need to keep doing? I'm going to throw 2 things at you guys. What about something as, that is such a right turn? Like, what if they threw ship combat in there? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I mean, they threw swords in now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. So ship combat, absolutely.
They definitely have the systems in place because you already read Sparrows. So if you take away just it being on the ground and it could just be simple. It doesn't need to be advanced. Like, as long as it's basic dogfighting, you're fine. Then they can improve on it from there. To Kellen's other point, the thing that I'm seeing a lot more now is people used to Sherpa people and say, stand here, shoot. And now it's, you know, if you stand here, you'll be able to sure. see how this plays out, mm-hmm. and they explain story more. So instead of just saying, we need to accomplish this, you stand here and shut up. It's,
yeah.
we want you to understand the dynamics of mm-hmm. the raid and what's happening with the story. It's yeah, it's, sure. it's cool to see that evolution as well.
Second thing I'm going to throw at you guys, mm-hmm. snowboarding level.
Oh, man,
thoughts?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah, you need yeah. to escape from the hospital and say Xenogeas at the end. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'd eat that up.
I think both of those ideas would really help.
Great. Great.
Yeah. Help. Immensely. Yeah.
I was trying to think of snowboarding trick terms.
Snowboard kids.
Like a 900?
900 mm-hmm. or a grind.
Yeah
grind. That's one.
1080 snowboard.
I mean, if they could accomplish what Battlefield, Star Wars Battlefield was supposedly going to do with this idea of like you could go from the stars
right
into orbit to land and you jump out onto your Sparrow.
Wait, like, is there not even space combat in Battlefront now?
No. There's sky okay. combat. There's oh. not space combat.
So that segues us yeah. into the No Man's Sky portion
well,
of the podcast.
Well, and see, that's the thing. It's like, I think if they could do what No Man's Sky is claiming it can do on top of already having all the amazing gunplay, then the war is over. Yeah, Bungie
this,
wins.
The war this, is like, over. Video games are done.
Yeah.
I have this like 25% fear that No Man's Sky is just all smoke and mirrors.
Stop. I mean, stop.
That's,
no, don't
that's
do it.
Next episode, man, don't is like, is this game ever going to come out? Is this? I mean, that game promises so much.
It's not coming out this year. No,
I
no.
bet they, no they have these meetings with like top tier developers. Are like, can you just sign here that you won't say anything about this? Okay, that's signed. We have no idea what we're doing.
We have no idea.
Well, how do we fix this?
How do we have no?
Why is that bag over my head? Oh God.
Aaron, thank you for coming on today.
Kellen, Tim, thank you for having me.
If people wanted to find you on the internet or out there in IRL, what would they need to do to experience you?
Well, if you want to see a live show, we have the Geek Show coming up at Stage 773 on October 20th at 7 p.m. We're going to be announcing our official guests for that very soon. If you want to catch us online, see a cosplay music video, see one of our video podcasts like Panels on Channels and other sketches, you can go to youtube.com/versusuniversetube. You can go to facebook.com/versusuniverse or facebook.com/panels on channels.
You were really great at mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, yeah.
Plug.
That's,
yeah. That is a practiced plug.
Yeah, practice.
Ours are like,
I have to concentrate so hard.
Can you talk about that other thing you're doing? That hasn't officially happened yet?
So, hey, who likes money? This guy does. We're going to be asking for money for basically the next year of our productions, including The Geek Show, very soon. We're in the process of becoming a professional company, and as soon as all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, we're going to be doing a Kickstarter.
That's great, man.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Let us know. We'll have some Versus Universe people on.
Yeah, talk about it. We'll talk about Destiny again.
Yeah.
Or No Man's Sky.
Or something else. Yeah. Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
It would need to be a roundtable event.
Oh, boy. There'd like be another
the
debate. Another Talking Games debate.
Wait, oh, my God. Can I argue Final Fantasy with somebody?
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Yeah, we did.
That was Janglehart last year, man.
They didn't do Janglehart podcasts this year except for Magic Tavern. Yeah, mm-hmm. We should do another debate.
That'd be fun, I would argue why Final Fantasy X sucks against anything.
the debate has already been made. So
Kellen won.
I won that one. Kellen, so there's no need to go into that.
Jeff Murdock had very funny visual aids that yeah. did not
didn't
register.
Work. Didn't work. Didn't work.
I remember listening to that and thinking, I liked Final Fantasy VIII. I'm really sad.
We've talked about it many times on this podcast. The garden battle was really cool.
I really like that. Yeah. It's got some
great
of the best
set
soundtrack.
Piece. Yeah.
Oh God.
Kellen, you have anything to plug?
You know what? Armandi's Pizza, let me tell you.
Yeah, man.
It's a pizza joint that I've never experienced until this week. And I got to tell you, it's some of the best pizza I've had in Chicago in a while.
Is that right?
It's really thin crust. It reminds me of a lot of almost like a California-style pizza with Chicago ingredients. Check it out. There's one on Division. Very, very tasty. Had a pizza last night.
Okay.
Sausage.
Okay.
Olives. Green pepper.
Get out of here.
Just delicious.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Like a Supreme pizza,
yeah,
pretty much.
But no pepperoni. I feel like Supreme needs at least the pepperoni.
Yeah, I gotcha.
In terms of other things, Dr. Cherrett on Twitter.
Oh, I forgot the Twitter.
God, I can remember the Twitter. Yeah, and if you want to...
Aaron, what's your Twitter?
Yeah.
@ I'm Aaron J.
Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it.
For me, Naps at I.O. Going on for another month. Come see that. Really, really fun shows. But yeah, Apart Pizza. There's one in Lincoln Square. And
Apart Pizza is very good.
Oh, my God, they're
totally
good.
Really tasty.
Kind of pricey, but worth it, in my opinion.
That that Mexican restaurant that's down the street from like
in Lincoln Square?
In Lincoln Square. Like, if you're at Apart and you keep going west, there's a Mexican restaurant.
Yes,
right there.
The cash-only one.
Amazing, amazing food. One of my favorite Mexican restaurants in town.
Really
next
good stuff.
El Pastor.
If you're at Apart Pizza, get the one with, I know it sounds weird, but it's like ham and, is it brie cheese?
Ooh, that sounds good.
It might be brie. I don't know. Camembert. I don't know. It's like they, and eggs. And they put just eggs on the pizza.
Yum.
And it is unbelievable. So good. Aaron, not sold on that one?
I'm not sold on eggs.
he's from Pennsylvania.
I was like, ham? Yeah. Eggs. Oh boy.
It's like a breakfast sandwich pizza.
I'm sad.
It's so good. Aaron, thank you again.
This is gonna be weird.
Together? Let's do it together at the same time. Mm-hmm. Kellen and Tim, take us out with one of your catchphrases. Hey you. Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.